But we have come to the fourth Sunday in Easter, often referred to as Good Shepherd Sunday, which maybe you kind of guessed from the gospel reading and perhaps Psalm 23, one of the probably best known psalms in the Book of Common Prayer and in the Bible. But it's also a time in the lectionary where we're shifting from Jesus' post-resurrection appearances to the nature of God's work in the world. And our shepherd imagery is often used in Scripture and in describing Jesus, and yet we are so far removed in our culture what actual shepherding is, it often is hard, I think, for us to grasp what God is trying to teach us. See, as one commentator explains, the life of a shepherd was anything but picturesque. It was dangerous, it was risky, and it was menial work. Shepherds were rough around the edges, spending time in the fields rather than in polite society. And just imagine someone living out in the fields with animals for a while. You might not want them standing next to you when they first come in from the fields. And so for Jesus to say, "I am the good shepherd," the claim had a little bit of an edge to it. And in fact, for some of the religious, it might even seem like Jesus is claiming to be God, equivalent with David and the good shepherd that God promised. But even stronger affront, I think, is Jesus' allusion to the false shepherds or the hired hands who didn't care for the sheep. Those that ran away at first danger. We hear echoes of the Old Testament prophets who rallied against the religious leaders who had neglected God's people. The image of shepherd reminds us that God is especially concerned for those at risk, those that are vulnerable. Because if you know anything about sheep, they're lost without constant vigilant care of their shepherd. I've often heard people say, well, the good shepherd is sort of like a good manager. But I don't think that is what Jesus is trying to get across. Because when we think about a good manager, what's their job? The job is to make sure that the bottom line is met, that the company is making money, that they're managing things so that they are increasing their capital. See, now that is something we can understand in our society better than shepherds. But see, God isn't moved by what makes sense to us. And in fact, if we think about it, Jesus would be a bad manager, but he's a good shepherd. See, if you have a cost-benefit analysis, you know, you would never encourage the shepherd to go after the one and leave the 99 at risk. It just makes no sense. And it would be insane for any shepherd to do that, especially if they want to keep their job. The shepherd had a risk management committee. They would never advise him to let himself be killed. But they would say it's better to survive and protect the sheep, even if you had to sacrifice one or two to the wolf. I mean, that's an acceptable risk. You know, what's one sheep when you have 100? And further, I bet if any shepherd ignored the advice of the analysis or the cost risk management committee, they undoubtedly would be fired upon the spot if they were still alive to tell the tale. In other words, our world is made up of a lot of hired hands with very few true shepherds around anymore. We manage risk and outcomes, and we don't put our lives on the line to avoid bad outcomes, which is why we truly need a good shepherd. Now, I think maybe more than ever. As someone put it, God counts by ones. And I, for one, am very thankful that he does that. See, God, by the world standard, is insane. And I'm also glad he's insane, insanely jealous for his people and his children. Well, D.T. Niles, who was an Indian theologian during the early part of the 20th century, recounts a time when he noticed a young Indian shepherd boy keeping a huge flock of sheep. And he stopped and went up to the boy and said, "Well, boy, how many sheep do you have?" The boy was like, I don't know. I don't know how to count. And Niles was confused, and he says, well, how do you know if some of your sheep haven't wandered off when you get to a place that you're going to camp at night if you can't count them? And the boy answered, he says, well, I don't know how many wander off, but I know each one. I can't count, but each sheep has a name, and I know every one of their names. See, Jesus knows us that intimately. And he calls each of us by name if we're willing to listen and follow. Well, a Sunday school teacher decided to have her class memorize that great psalm that we read today, Psalm 23, one of the most often quoted psalms. And she gave the youngsters a month to learn it. Well, little Ricky was excited at this task, but just couldn't seem to remember the psalm. No matter how hard he studied and tried, he could barely get past that first line. Well, on the day when they were to recite it before the whole congregation, Ricky was extremely nervous, and when it was his turn, he got up to the microphone, and he proudly said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." But isn't that the truth? That's all we need to know. The image of the shepherd is one we need to grasp because it speaks of intimacy and security. Jesus is sufficient for all the cares of his children. So we yearn and hunger in our society to know and to be known, to be connected, even as our technology does everything to kind of isolate and disconnect us from one another. And yet, even at our most isolated moments, at those times when we feel deserted and alone, the moments that we are alienated from everyone and just have this overwhelming sense of hopelessness, Jesus is there as our good shepherd. He responds by offering us authentic community, providing comfort and security and hope if we'll heed his voice. Well, the Plains Indians of North America were impressed by the 23rd Psalm, and they wanted to share its beauty and power with all the neighboring tribes, but they had the difficulty of overcoming all the different languages. And finally, one suggested that they translate it into their universal sign language, which was done, and then the sign language was then translated back into literal English by a missionary named Isabel Crawford. And it went as follows. The great Father above, a chief shepherd is. I am his, and with him I want not. He throws out to me a rope, and in the name of the rope is love. And he draws me to where the grass is green and the water not dangerous. And I eat and lie down and am satisfied. Sometimes my heart is very weak and falls down, but he lifts me up again and draws me into a good road. His name is wonderful. Sometimes, it may be very soon, it may be a long time, he will draw me into a valley. It is dark there, but I'll be afraid not, for it is in between those mountains that the shepherd chief will meet me, and the hunger that I have in my heart, the hunger that I've had in my heart all through this life, will be satisfied. Sometimes he makes the love rope into a whip, but afterwards he gives me a staff to lean upon. He spreads a table before me with all kinds of food. He puts his hand upon my head, and all the tired is gone. My cup he fills till it runs over. What I tell is true, I lie not. These roads that are way ahead will stay with me throughout this life and after. And afterwards I will go to live in the big teepee and sit down with the shepherd chief forever. How well are we willing to allow Jesus to be that good shepherd? I mean, we like the goodness and mercy part, don't we? We like the satisfaction and the restoration that is provided and promised. But are we as pleased with the valley of the shadow of death? Are we as happy to be placed in the midst of our enemies? Those seem to be the times we're not as apt to follow him or to listen to his voice. Well, an American traveling in Syria became acquainted with a shepherd, and each morning he noticed that the shepherd was carrying something to his sheep. The traveler followed him one morning and found that he was taking food to one sheep that had broken his leg. As he looked at the animal, he said to the shepherd, "Well, how did the sheep break its leg? Did it meet with an accident, fall into a hole? Did something break the animal's leg?" "No," said the shepherd. "I broke the leg myself." And the traveler was kind of shocked, and he says, "Well, you broke it yourself? Why?" "Well, you see, this is a wayward sheep. It would not stay with the flock, but it would lead the other sheep astray. Then it would not let me near it. I could not approach it, and so I had to break the sheep's leg that it might allow me day by day to feed it. In doing this, it will get to know me as its shepherd, trust me to guide it, and then keep with the flock." Well, I pray none of us need to have our legs broken to learn to know Jesus. But instead, each day, that we might remember the sacrifice Jesus the Good Shepherd made for each one of us, and then listen to his voice. To follow him no matter what, to trust his leading, so we might truly dwell in his house for all eternity. Amen. Amen.